welcome you to the God's Word portion of the worship from Daleville Christian Church. We begin with an affirmation of our faith, this one from 1 Peter in the second chapter. Jesus committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. The reading of God's word for today is from the book of the Revelation, in the 7th chapter, verses 9 through 12. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and random and thanks, wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in the white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know. These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We've been talking about the heaviest topics in the Bible, love and death. And you may be thinking, wait, love is a heavy topic? Well, yes, love is a heavy topic. If we are talking about God's love, and that means we are going to talk about Jesus on the cross, and if you and I are called to love what God loves, other people, the near neighbor, and the faraway neighbor, then yes, love is also a heavy topic. And we've been talking about love and or death for over 2 months. It's time for me and time for us to lighten up. We're going to talk about the Bible and trees. We're going to talk about Bible foods. We might even talk about what would Jesus eat. Not what would Jesus do, but what would Jesus eat. And then I do have a couple of important questions for you to think about by the time we finish. So take a look at this part of John's vision written and preserved in the book of Revelation. After this I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. To me, this seems like an odd detail to mention when you have a chance to gaze into heaven. But there it is, palm branches. John's gospel book tells another moment in Jesus' life that we celebrated on Palm Sunday, John 12:13. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." I should note that I have read and or seen a number of rather clever explanations about the palms of Palm Sunday. I'm not convinced that those clever explanations are legitimate to God's Word, the Bible. We did note in our opening sentences today, Psalm 92, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree planted in the house of the Lord. The Bible is talking about the date palm tree, the same tree whose branches waved to our Savior. The flowers of that palm tree bear the fruit we call dates. Some say that the date fruit is mentioned only once in the prophet Joel, chapter 1. Others claim that the date fruit is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. It doesn't much matter. Date palm trees grew then and grow now all over the Middle East and North Africa. The ancient Egyptians depicted them in their temples. Images of the date palm were a part of Solomon's temple in Jerusalem. Date farms are a part of the Israeli economy today. Date palm trees were valued not just for their fruit, but for the whole tree, the wood and the leaves, for construction and clothing fibers. The date palm tree is so common throughout the Middle East. But that does not answer the question about what are they doing in heaven and why does John mention seeing them in his vision of the saints. There are 2 things mentioned in John's vision, the white robes and the palm branch, as a part of the images of the saints themselves from all nations and all kindreds and all people and all tongues stood before the throne before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm branches in their hands. The white robe is the easier symbol to know. The white robe, the robes are a symbol of purity. And if the saints are pure, it is because of Jesus' victory. The letter of the Apostle Paul to the churches in and around the city of Corinth, but thanks be to God who giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Further in Revelation, as I read, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These saints came out of the great tribulation unblemished. How have they come through terrible temptation? How did they refrain from seduction? How did they keep the faith? Because of the Lord God who gives the victory. The Spirit spoke to John in the letters to the churches. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. Yes, we understand the white robes mentioned several times. And what was our psalm today? The righteous will flourish like a palm tree planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. The righteous carry the symbol of flourishing, the palm branch. The palm fronds. Let's not overlook the obvious. The palm frond is of the earth, God's creation, God's provision. God provided the promised land and its fruitfulness, and God has provided the spiritual victory represented in the purity of the white robes. Make no mistake, the saints were slain for their faith. This is no physical victory, it is a spiritual victory. God has made this moment for the saints possible. God made it all possible. The palm tree branch became then a symbol for the land promised to the children of Israel by God, a symbol of such things as God's blessing on the saints, the fulfillment of God's promises. But let's consider the richness of the fruit of the date palm today. You probably didn't know that there was last year an international date palm conference representing some 50 million farmers. There are 200 varieties of the date fruit. In most parts of the world where dates are cultivated, you and I could not ask for simply dates to eat. You would need to ask which particular date you prefer. Westerners like us usually prefer the medjool date or the deglet nur date. California is known for its date farms, producing 40 million pounds a year, including the Barhi and the Zahidi. In addition to the other two I mentioned. And the 40 pounds I mentioned earlier is less than 15% of the world date production each year. Now someday, I don't know how soon, I'm going to host Coffee Fellowship, and on that day that I host it, I will offer dried dates, maybe two varieties. I will offer dried figs, maybe two varieties. And I also plan to offer barley muffins, mini muffins of my own recipe, sweetened only with honey. It will be Bible food coffee fellowship whenever I get that done. In the book, What Would Jesus Eat? That's the title of the book. What would Jesus eat? The question is raised as to what would Jesus eat if he wanted something sweet to eat, and the answer is fruit, grapes, pomegranates, and figs are mentioned most often in the Bible, and therefore raisins from the grapes. But the sugar content of dates is 60 to 70%. However, it's a natural occurring sugar. Jesus also would have had dates if he was wanting something sweet to eat. Still, some websites will tell you the benefits of eating dates, including lowered cholesterol, antioxidants, bone health, and they help digestion because dried fruit generally is a lot of fiber. Still, there are claims that eating biblically, eating according to what foods the Bible mentions, is a key to health. Well, sort of. Anyone in America who will stay with what is known as a Mediterranean diet will be healthier than most other Americans. Former pastor and author Rick Warren devised a weight loss diet based on the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, to be exact, and Rick Warren lost weight, and so did his congregation. But again, I want to point out the obvious. Everyone in the Bible was on basically a Mediterranean diet. People were on a Mediterranean diet, and they still got sick. So eating only foods mentioned in the Bible is not the complete answer to anyone's health problems. The land of Israel, described in the Bible as a land flowing with milk and honey. In preparation for this message today, I read one author who claims the honey that is mentioned is not from bees, but is from pressed dates. I couldn't find the author's argument to know whether he was convincing or not in his interpretation, but I share that statement with you. One more piece of trivia, the word for the fruit date is the Hebrew word tamar. Tamar, the woman's name, is the Hebrew word for date. The date palm branch, a symbol of God's provision, a symbol of the fulfillment of God's promise to us. We read it first in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, and we read of God's provision in the first chapters of the first book of the Bible. Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So this brings us to some questions to consider. In America today, some say that there is a divide between environmentalists and evangelicals. And the first thing they point to is science. But I want to ask the question this way. If a Christian believes that God made everything good, then why would it be okay to kill off entire species of creatures that God made and made good? The book of Ecclesiastes says that there is a time to kill, but it doesn't say that there's a time to kill off all. So God created mankind in his own image. We read in another of the chapters of Genesis, in the image of God he created the male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Is ruling over and subduing, do those include extinction? When we read Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. I believe the King James Version states that humanity is to dress it and keep the garden. Was that limited to the garden? When humanity is expelled from the garden, he will eat bread by the sweat of his brow. Did God's work of cultivating, taking care of, working the land become obsolete once man was cast out of the garden and living east of Eden? Obviously, preservation of the natural wonders of this country did not get started until almost 100 years after we became a nation. And we only had 6 national parks 300 years after Christian Europeans landed here on these shores. Until then, we did whatever we pleased, and we seemed to do whatever we pleased wherever we pleased to do it. I'm just asking, as one Christian to another, was that God's plan and will for us? Or is there something about the book of Genesis that relates to us and the world that God made? Our God has provided. I'm just asking questions. Amen.